We pray, Heavenly Father, we are gathered together to study the message the prophet brought on amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved every one of us wretches. And we pray, Lord, that we will somehow be captivated by the same spirit that he was when it comes to the understanding of this message. May we know the grace in a way we have not known it previously, Lord, because we know only too well that we do not know as we ought to know. And we have a promise in here, Lord, that we are going to know as we are known. And we know, Lord, that you know our hearts. You know us better than we know ourselves. You know everything about us from eternity to eternity. And so there's a tremendous revelation here at the end time that we are evidently heir to. And we would claim it this morning, O God, not because of anything we have, but because your word said so. And we thank you for this opportunity of apprehending this grace. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this is number 3 on the message of grace. And thus far in this message, we have learned that Brother Branham has identified himself as the voice of Zechariah 4, crying, grace, grace. Now, this, you have to understand, this is a very correct statement. Your Brother Branham has identified himself as that voice and Zechariah 4, crying, grace, grace. Now, you understand what this means. This man is either a complete fool or he's completely right. You say, well, I think maybe he's misguided. Is that a fact? I'd like to be as misguided with the evidence. So you can go at it many ways, but we believe that we are not sitting on the fence anymore. We believe we're on one side or the other. We are not looking to turn a corner. We believe that we have turned the corner. So we're very definitive in our statement. The definitive statement thus far in this message we have learned that Brother Branham has identified himself as the voice of Zechariah 4, crying, grace, grace. This is exactly 1 Thessalonians 4:16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. This is exactly 1 Thessalonians 4:16, wherein the shout is not said to be the voice of the Lord. It doesn't say that. But it is wherein we have Elijah the prophet bringing us a message of grace based on vindication. Why is that said? Because you go to Dr. Vine, you go to any Greek authority, except a Greek that wants to be really full of the Spirit and understands the Greek. The students with no axe to grind will tell you they don't understand it. But the shout is not said to be the voice of the Lord. So therefore, nobody can make it the voice of the Lord. So the Lord can descend and not use his own voice in this shout. And we understand the word shout is klusma, which is a military command, which is the same word in 1 Corinthians 15, which means bring everything into submission, so that Christ can come to a perfect headship. Right. Under the aegis, the guidance, the goodness of God, who is Holy Spirit. Until such time as New Jerusalem, when the Lamb will be on the throne and the pillar of fire above the throne. Period. Now that's doctrine. And doctrine you must know, or you can quote yourself into the pit. This is exactly 1 Thessalonians 4:16, wherein the shout is not said to be the voice of the Lord, but it is wherein we have Elijah the prophet bringing us a message of grace based on vindication. Why is it Elijah? Malachi 4 tells you. That's not only interesting, that's fact. That's not speculation. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Right. What are you going to do? Preach. Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And you are well taught here the law of parallelism of Scripture, that a promise is good and a promise is evil. I kill and I make alive. Amen. That's right. And unless you see that, you see nothing. And every time the devil will trick you, and he loves to trick us. And he'll trick us always with the understanding of the word. Say, it doesn't mean this. Okay. Say, Brother Bale, you keep repeating. Certainly, I feel led to repeat. I can tell you, preachers don't know what you know, if you know what I'm saying this morning. And I'm not lying to you. telling you the truth. They don't understand what we're saying here. But we do have the truth of Almighty God. Now, we looked at this point here. Elijah. That's over there in Malachi. Well, perfectly 2 Thessalonians. Never mind Malachi. Let's find out about this great day of the Lord. Verse 7, first chapter, 2 Thessalonians. And you are troubled to rest with us. Relax. The hour of relaxation concerning something that you can be certain of. It doesn't say you're going to suddenly be oh so happily transformed that nobody but nobody bothers you. Is that a fact? You'll be bothered more than you ever bothered in your life. Because now you've got something to be bothered about. The devil came to Jesus and said, if you be the Son of God, do so-and-so, do so-and-so, do so-and-so. Well, if you people are really going in the rapture. Oh, come on. If the devil struck a low blow at Jesus, and Jesus didn't have it coming to him, and the devil just took a chance, do you think we're not going to get some low blows by the devil when he's not taking a chance? He knows who we are. We're nothing from nowhere except for the grace of God. Jesus himself said, he said, if I, your master, well, you cannot put a finger on me. If the devil takes a crack at me, and I don't deserve it, what about you? That's what he said in the vernacular. So, comrades of the low blow, the knife of the devil, rest with us. Not the kind of rest people want. This is something different. And you listen. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Brother Branham categorically said that was that. Now, if you don't believe Brother Branham, fine. That doesn't apply to you. You're agnostic concerning this, skeptical, no problem. I'm not. I believe that's real. Now, the picture's real. You say, well, the picture's real, but could the man be right? A good question. Very good question. The picture happened above where he was. You say, well, that could happen too. Right. I agree with you. I agree. Where'd it come from? Nobody knows. Got to come from somewhere. We say it came from God. Who knows? Well, we believe the prophet is vindicated. Okay. In flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And they're going to be punished. At this time, when you get peace, when he shall have come to be glorified in his saints. So, okay, you got eternal bliss on one side, you got eternal misery on the other side. When the righteous are taken away and the wicked are destroyed. And remember, by the law of spiritual prophetic projection, what happens now goes plumb to the white throne. Billions will not have a chance. If there's 6 billion people on earth by that time, and this time, this is part of that time, you rest assured that over 5 billion, and I believe we have no right to extract any more than 5 million from that 5 billion and put them someplace in eternity with God and the bride. That's part bride and part those coming in from the outside bringing their glory in. You know what I'm talking about, future from the earthly bride. Okay, so never forget that. That always the Bible teaches two things. Blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing, blessing, cursing. Never, never, never cursing, cursing, cursing. Blessing, blessing, blessing. Never, 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 never. Never. So every time you see a curse, look for blessing. Every time you hear a blessing, watch for the curse. Now you can't bypass that, brother, sister. Right in the very first statement, in the day of the eating of dying, thou dost surely die, pronounce the curse, and the blessing was, refrain from eating and living, you shall surely live. So the bride's got to get back there. Can't add a word, can't take a word. Can't let the devil interpret for you, got to let God's man interpret. And God's man's a prophet, and anybody knows that. I don't care who he is. I don't care what theology he's steeped in or anything else. Let him even mouth this word. And he's got to come to the place, where did it come from? By God. Hold it, hold it, hold it. Whoever saw God and talked to God? The closest you come as a prophet. So now we're back to whether you are your own prophet or you've got God's prophet. You've elected a prophet, or you've decided a prophet, or God's decided a prophet. Ah, people aren't going to believe that, brother, sister. Come on, come on. Look, I'm 72, and if I wasn't ordained to this, you think I would believe it? You've got to be kidding. I'm as stupid and as arrogant as anybody. Amazing grace. It's all part of the grace message, see? All part of grace. You can't deny grace. Okay. Prophet Elijah comes at this time then. This is exactly 1 Thessalonians 4:16. To prove that the prophet is the one at the command of God crying grace, grace. And his message is based on vindication. The prophet is quick to assure us that even as vindication gave him revelation authority to reveal the one and true God in our midst, the same vindication gave him, thus saith the Lord authority to declare a message of grace. Right? You want to read it again? I'll repeat it for you. The prophet is quick to assure us that even as vindication gave him revelation authority to reveal the one and true God in our midst, like Moses and Paul, the same vindication gave him, thus saith the Lord authority to declare a message of grace, which means everything he said would be true concerning the Word of God because it is the Word of God. After giving us examples of grace in the lives of Abraham, Moses, and David, he took us back to the origin of grace manifestation in the Garden of Eden, and he uses Scripture for doctrine and illustration, as he uses Scripture for doctrine and illustration, because some is doctrine, some is illustration, because the Apostle Paul said the Old Testament is for our examples, except where it's doctrine, right? Okay, scriptural for doctrine and illustration, he shows us what is happening today, and thereby we see that we are the true omega manifestation of grace. You follow me? Right. In other words, grace as God's present gift goes plumb back to the original in the Garden of Eden, and so we start reading. And Brother Branham is describing, page 12, paragraph 75, the sin in the garden. There in the garden that morning, when sin was so black, Jehovah came in. Sin was so black. You know how black it was? Completely naked. Now you know, if you caught a man and woman in a room together and both completely naked, you know exactly what went on or was going to go on. Now you know that sex always is the type of unfaithfulness to God, idolatry, and those things in there. So here it is, caught naked. Before they were naked, they weren't ashamed. Why should they be ashamed now? See, the Bible stresses they were not ashamed. And the Bible speaks at the end time, we should not be ashamed in His presence. Now, if we should not be ashamed in His presence, and this is the message of grace, it is very evident that we are naked to begin with. Wretched, naked, miserable, blind, don't know it. One thing, Adam and Eve did know it. Give them credit, kids. The human race has sure gone down the drain, animal. What's the church made of? Rock and roll, twist and twirl. Despicable woman. Even the little shreds of paper that she had to cover herself with, she twisted and rocked and rolled in Brother Band's vision, were dirty, gray, questionable. How would you like to realize at this end time, everybody is questionable? Brother Brand said, the woman will stand before God and say, I was never unfaithful to my husband. I only had one man. He was it. Yes, but you presented yourself to hundreds out in the street. Questionable. You know, I've been preaching a long time. I'm not dumping on women. See, for heaven's sake, if you think I am, Please don't think anything wrong when I say these things. But listen, sister, here's the thing. You were made a certain way. I know man was too. But there's a certain fallacy about the woman she's got to watch as she's never watched anything in her life. And that's not just physical sex. That's not it. It's to understand what her spirit is, because her spirit caught from Satan when Adam's didn't. That doesn't make you dirty, rotten, and vulgar, anything else. I'm just telling you, get into the other spirit. Everything I'm talking about in these messages as never before depends on getting into a spirit. And if nobody's getting hurt, you're being helped. Because it will take you away from the vulgar, the unchristian, the sinful, and help us to all get to the spiritual which we're looking for. Remember, brother, sister, innocence is not what counts. It is righteousness what counts. Adam and Eve were innocent. They weren't righteous. And the righteous people are cleansed. And they got a spirit about them. Not that they're perfect. But as Brother Branham said, get in the spirit. The first thing a woman must realize, she is vulnerable in that spirit. I was just talking a little bit to Joe this morning. I talked to my wife yesterday, the day before, I forget which. And I said, you watch where every woman has been a little bit too much head in the home. Watch those daughters. Watch those men. And I congratulated my wife on her mother's death. I didn't mean it that way. You understand what I'm saying? But she's brought up by her father. And she's one of the most obedient women I know and ever will know. But I'll tell you what, she has to watch herself with her children because she's still a woman. That spirit has continued from Eve on down until the church is the most miserable, filthy thing. And Brother Branham said the woman has become a sex disposal. Not the women are that way. Precious sisters, it's a spirit. Let the women who take the bride, which is the righteousness of Christ and the victory of God, begin to get that spirit. What I'm talking about now. And you watch what happens. And that goes for every man and woman in the building because we're all typed under that. But the woman is more vulnerable. See? The church has gone to riches. Increased in goods and lacked nothing. What was wrong with my family life? I'll tell you. Very frankly. I wanted my kids to have what I didn't have. And I had a million times more than they had. Right. They never had the good fortune I had. Look at the schools they went to. Look at the people they associated with. We were just a home people. I had fun in my cardboard boxes playing train and car, though it didn't move. I bought our kids bicycles. I bought them the trains, bought them everything. My wife and I worked. They turned out a million times more rich and miserable than I. And your kids are getting the same treatment right today. I could have, no doubt, I brought about our son's death a whole lot quicker than he did die. Inherited an immune system, no doubt that wasn't right. I thought the best thing in the world was to feed him certain ways. I could flatter my way into a lot of places. My wife never lacks stockings, nylon soup. All during the war, I knew how to get them. I was kind of vegetarian those days. I knew how to get all the sugar and all the candy. I could get him out. I had pounds and pounds. Never gave our kids a break. You know what? See, spirit of the age. Jesus said, you know not what spirit you have, he said to his disciples. There's a spirit we must learn to have in our lives. That spirit is here in the form of the Holy Ghost, pillar of fire. Not in this church here. No, no, no. I don't know where he is. But I'm going to tell you something. I'll just throw this in here. Because I'm going to throw a lot of things. I don't care where we go this morning. I'll cut off anytime I feel like it. Brother Branham made a statement. And he said, you ever notice when you think about and talk about somebody that departed, some real sweet Christian? And he said, you notice you feel a sweet spirit moving in him? He said, that's the spirit of that person. What if you came every morning to church, you're 15 minutes early, you're 30 minutes, 20 minutes early, and you sat here and meditated only upon Brother Branham? and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what spirit would draw nigh to this people?
Amen.
You don't believe me. You're not willing to try it. Or are you? Well, 15 minutes before the 30, the song leader came forward and said, we're all going to just bow our heads and meditate now. And you need to be reminded. I need to be reminded. Of course, I tell you frankly, I love your spirit here regardless of what I'm telling you. Because I sit here while the songs are going on, and I get my major thrust sitting right there reading my notes. And it comes together. Why? Because you're singing songs about Jesus. You're not singing some saga. You're not singing some tale. You're not singing some little thing that somebody wrote. You are usually singing songs, the Word of God. And you're giving back to God what God gave you. That brings the spirit into the building. We have an advantage over most churches because we recognize these things. I'm going to tell you something. It's not boasting, it's the truth. It's the truth. You get what you put your heart out for. So there's a very important thing to get in the spirit of things. To examine our hearts and say, Lord, I want that right spirit upon me. Men with true leadership spirit, they don't beat their wives down. No way, shape, and form. They hold their wives up. And there is a spirit we must talk about. I can't explain it all because I'm not a prophet. I'm not an anointed teacher to tell you these things. I'm not. I just can't do it. All I know is there's a spirit. I know from the Garden of Eden where grace entered. It's got to the place now where it had better be greater grace than ever before. And I can see why he said, if I didn't do something to make a contact, if I didn't do something as I did in my son when I formed myself in human flesh to become the sacrifice, if I didn't do it at the end time, I wouldn't get the people out of there. We're talking about that amazing grace that Brother Branham is bringing us a message on. He said Jehovah came in when sin was so black. Now look at it. So black, what do you mean so black? This is the origin of sin, of which the scripture said men go after sin until it's like a cart rope. It is so thick it drags everything with it. And I'm going to tell you something. Sin is no tug of war. It usually just takes over and tugs you with it. You don't have to tug too hard if you tug at all. Sin takes over. Now look, if that started, every wicked thought, every wicked deed, every murder, every unkind word, everything today that we know to be wrong, so black, then what about the end results when it's all heaped up? Look, you take one free radical loose in your bloodstream to start cancer. From that moment on, that cancer watches everything that's propitious to bring it into complete control, dominate you, and kill you. Now that's sin. That's why God said to Brother Branham, if you can get people to believe, even cancer will not stand before you. The sin, the cancer of sin cannot stand in this hour, though it started in the first of the human race. And we're at the end of it. How black then is sin? They were just naked and knew it and wanted to hide. This nation is naked and doesn't know it and won't hide, and it flaunts it.
Amen.
And says, who needs you? Now where are we at? And if it took grace back there, brother, sister, what's it going to take today? Grace, which means God's got to do something or it won't be done. I've been saying that ever since you heard me preach. There's hardly a sermon. There's not a place where I've ever preached that I haven't said that. From what I understand, Brother Branham's message, if God doesn't do something, it isn't going to be done. And I went through the numbers of them. It isn't gifts. No. And power. It isn't that. It isn't fruit. It isn't character. It isn't obedience. Go down the line. It's not even your faith. It's got to be something God does. See? Now it'll have to do with your faith. By grace you save through faith. But it's got to be something God does. Now he said, Jehovah came in. And Brother Branham brought the most beautiful thought. He said, God started. He came down personally. then surely he would come down personally and finish it. Amen. That's exactly right. In other words, for years he'd been standing afar off, giving little jots and tittles, so to speak, of his Holy Spirit, of his life. But at the end time, listen, if at the beginning death came in, then life must come in. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory. Doesn't it say this? You are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, there he is revealed right there. When he shall have come to be glorified in his saints. There you are. Perfect manifestation of grace. See? Now this is the climax. Okay. There stood his couple condemned. Now watch what Brother Branagh said with the sentence of death passed on him. There would be no more human race, for they had to die. Death was pronounced on the human race. Give the world back to the wild beasts, and there would be no more human race. But in that darkest hour, at that time when all hope was gone, grace came pouring through, and he said, I'll give you a Savior, I'll give you a Messiah. And at the end time he said, I will come and bring you Elijah. Now that's grace. Oh, come on. Brother Branham said, the message and the messenger is one. Right? And he said, I have the message. So I am the messenger. Who is to do it? I am to do it. Who are you? I am Elijah to the people. And notice his perfect cover-up all the time was the cover-up of Paul. The church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets. Apostles and prophets. Why? Because there are lots of living apostles. But the word prophet goes off the scene. Missionaries should come. And you can't have a church unless somebody brings a message to somebody. Right? Sure. But where does he get it? Prophet. So Paul never called himself a prophet. And William Branham didn't want to be called a prophet. Paul said, I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. I'm an apostle. Now hold it, Paul. Your language is showing. Because just a while ago, you said, I got a revelation from God face to face. So, Paul, you are an apostle by virtue of the fact you are taking something somewhere. But where did you get your something? Now, apostle doesn't qualify to get something from something. That is to get it on his own. Got to go to a prophet. And William Branham all said, I'm a missionary. I've been around the world 7 times. Why am I being called a prophet? He said, you call me a prophet. Well, just not William Branham. Picture's hidden back here, but face to face in that pillar of fire over your shoulder. You categorically said this. We haven't had a prophet since Moses who talked face to face with God for 2,000 years in the time of Paul. You're telling me that you talk face to face with God? Sure. Paul, William Branham, Paul, Moses. Moses, Paul, William Branham. Now, if you can't be comfortable with that, you are still not getting the Spirit. See? To literally invite William Branham, and I'm not a spiritist, get that flat, is to literally invite the Spirit of Elijah, which is God's Spirit, because Elijah this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ, manifesting in a certain way, with a certain influence upon the people, doing a certain thing. So we have an advantage knowing these little tricks. These little ins. These little open sesames. These marvelous things that God has given us as keys to his kingdom, brother, sister, if you want to know the truth. It can be done. So grace came pouring through. I'll give you Messiah. God has sent the gift of his Son in the form of the Holy Spirit. The Son of righteousness rising with healing in his wings. Immortality. The dead coming out of the ground. I send you Elijah so you can have all of this and escape death. For the righteous shall not perish with the wicked. Now you notice in here, brother, sister, that Adam and Eve were not wicked. They're innocent, but they weren't wicked. They weren't righteous. You and I can claim that because we have the righteousness of God and we are His righteousness. That's a very strange statement, but it's true. You have to believe that. You've got to believe it. That takes a very special anointing of His Spirit. And our spirit gets out of the way. But the Bible says that. See, I'll give you a Savior. I'll give you Messiah. I'll give you Elijah for this hour. The token of evening time. And God has done that, see? He certainly has. No, oh, it's a wonder how God could ever do it. How could God do it? You know, listen, let's face it. Adam and Eve blew it. Yeah. They blew it. You know what they gave up? I'm standing here perspiring. I'm not as cold as I was, so that's not too bad. But nobody should be spiring in this amount of heat because it's just not necessary. But I am perspiring, and I'm not hot. I've had a lot of pain and sickness, and I've seen people die with worse pains than mine. I've seen the hell and the torture people go through, and my wife has seen many, many more because she's seen many people die and nursed many. You'd have a thing to do with that, you know what I'm talking about. You've seen young people die, old people die. You've seen what crime does. You've seen how government protects crime. It literally pins medals on those who are amoral, unmoral, rotten. And our great politicians, our Metz and Baums and Glens, they'll mouth off about a lot of things, but they'll never strike home with the right things. They're way up there somewhere. They won't come down where the problem lies. They never will. Only God does a thing like that. But look at the mess this world's in today. Adam knew what he was doing. Eve was deceived. Now you put yourself in a condition. Like David. Brother Rand talked about David. 500 wives. We'll read more about him. Time goes on. 500 wives. If he wanted sensual pleasure, he had 500. And he wanted hundreds more, like Solomon could have had them. You talk about getting low. He was no Casanova great lover. He was an abject mess in that particular instance. So, all right. He takes another man's wife, then kills the man. True son of Adam. Adam knew what he was doing. Put the human race in bondage and jeopardy. Did it all for a woman. Took the place of God, so to speak. High ideas, maybe. Oh, any, okay, I'm going to tell you something. You can be like these guys down here. You know, we got a couple. We got one in Ohio. Maybe two. We got them in the Carolinas. In the light of virtue and grace, they champion polygamy. Beautiful sex act. We make it glorious, but you know what they are? If you can't guess by now, why should I tell you? Amen. They know what they're doing. Deliberate. They were deliberate. Now, I'm going to show you something. What I'm drawing your attention to is this. That was deliberate. So, therefore, Brother Branham says, let me read it to you here. Oh, it's a wonder how God could ever do it. Give grace. Now, with what I've been talking about, put yourself in God's position, so to speak. Put yourself in your own position. Knowing what you know. And doing what we do. Knowing what we know, knowing we do. How would you feel if you were God? How would you like to get back to the Garden of Eden? Oh, man. Look, if I gotta live, at least let me live where I feel good. Right. Yeah. And feeling good takes in everything. Because you feel good about yourself. You feel good about God. You feel good about people. You feel good about nature. You feel good. Rapport. Communication. You got it. They threw it away. Deliberately. That's why he said, how could he ever do it? Now, you see, we've got to watch this because we're so thoroughly inured with the doctrine of predestination, knowing that God knew this would happen. And so we could tend to become hard shell. We get too far off the beaten track, that narrow line. You've got to come back here, brother, sister, where responsibility stands. People don't want it. Adam refused responsibility. He threw it. Eve, we're in the same boat. Now, when we look back at the garden and we look today, can we really understand how amazing grace is? We can if we let our own thinking go and begin to follow the prophet. Because if anybody understood the sovereignty of God, William Branham understood the sovereignty of God. God's amazing grace in the Garden of Eden that gave them the promise of a just one who could come through the woman. Now look how he's tracing amazing grace. Now they had to die, that's true. Penalty. But now what's going to happen to the human race? They included, because they're human. They're the ones. Remember, Adam's race will never be destroyed. As in Adam all die, even so in Christ all are made alive. Now it doesn't say the serpent, it says Adam. So wherefore that life comes down through a normal channel, that is the life that God predestinated. How's your time, okay? All right. Would come through the moon. Now watch. Now watch this statement carefully. Are you wide awake listening? Now did this statement come out of the Bible? The woman's seed shall bruise the serpent's head, the guilty one, and his head shall bruise her heel. Now, is it truly scriptural? You're not looking at it if you think it's truly scriptural, because it's not. His heel, not her heel. And the spelling here is H-E-L, but it should be H-E-double-L. But you see, it's wrong on the her and the his, but he said her. Now, why did he say that? To show there'd be an affliction to the church. Now, Brother Branham, as a prophet, explained that, why he used her instead of his. Affliction. Let's go back to Genesis 3:15. Because we want to read it the way it's written here. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. He said that to the serpent. And between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now let's understand there's something in the Hebrew here that every Hebrew student knows, but most people don't give it credit. The word seed is in the plural. Adam is plural, embracing all seed. Even to this hour, you and I are part of him. Right? Christ is singular, but plural. So therefore it is true that Satan comes against the bride inflicting a wound, and she will come against him and step on his head. That's right. Because we will achieve with him. We are his victory, and he is our victory, and together we will absolutely overcome the enemy. The Bible speaks of the triumph of the church. But he promised a triumph. What provided the Savior? Grace. Now we're looking to get back to win a victory to get there. We are bruised in the meantime. Satan does have an advantage. Brother Brown said he's got a blow coming. And he doesn't just take advantage of one blow. He just goes ahead and bring a blow upon blow like he did the Apostle Paul. But remember, he said, God has provided a Savior, grace. So, we are his victory. We have the devil's answer, said Brother Branham. What is our answer? Christ manifested to be here. And the rapture, though the catching away has not started, the circumstances to the catching are well in hand, and we are part of it. See? 2,000 years ago, the devil appeared to Jesus and said, I understand you are supposed to be the Son of God. Now, I said, I really don't know. But he said, if you are the Son of God, he said, you're hungry, you'll command those stones to be turned to bread. He said, no way. Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You see the spirit? Yeah, I like that. Devil couldn't trick him. Well, he said, now, he said, look, he said, if you're the Son of God, he said, why don't you climb up to that temple up there? He said, throw yourself down, be a spectator. I mean, it's true, preacher. Well, he said, man, he said, you'd be like cake, he said. The people would just believe right now. Prove, he said, you're the Son of God. You won't splash, just jump. Well, he said, the Bible says the Lord will raise you up even if you bump your foot against a stone. Why, he said, if that's true, the other's true. Let's go to the extreme test. Pretty big temptation. Christ said, well, he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It's written. Now, the devil knew he was dealing with a pretty outstanding person. And he thought he could get him where he was gotten. And he said, look, he said, I tell you, all this is mine. Now, he said, I'll give it to you if you fall down and worship me. He said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only. He said, Satan, you get out of here. Now, look. 2,000 years ago, the enemy got his answer. Vindicated word. We have the devil's answer. Vindicated word. Now, don't budge from that. Don't budge from it. You can be bombarded by the Seventh-day Adventist or the Armstrong Church of God with their false doctrine, which is patently false. Bombard you until you think you see something and be fully drawn away, unless you are convinced in this hour that you have a vindicated word, because you're not up to it. Well, I know people say, we're up to it. You are not up to it. Because he said, except for Elijah being sent, you'd be washed out, and I would wash you out. You've been washed out by the devil, now take over and wash the rest out. So you see, nobody's smart. Amazing grace. When we're washed out before God and washed out by the devil, he comes and rewashes. You believe that? Got news for you. 22nd chapter of the book of Revelation. Blessed are they who wash their robes, not do his commandments. Thrice washed, so to speak. The other two are the dangerous ones. Washed up by Satan, washed up by God, then God can't come back and wash you in. You have the devil's answer. God provided grace. What could they show? What could they show to merit grace? Well, what could they show? Ha! You know what they showed? Their wretched nakedness. They knew they were naked. They said we're naked. Why did you hide? What's going on here anyway? We're naked. Well, you got that to your credit. God comes to America. America's naked. They don't even hide. They flaunt it. I saw Pentecostal do it. I've told this many times. I'll tell you again. I don't like telling it as though I get some glee out of it. I don't. On his last trip to California. Rialto, I forget where it was. Anyway, he told him, he said, I come every year and I tell you, he said, you're dressing wrong. You cut your hair. You shouldn't do it. And every time I come back, your hair is longer and your dress is more out. They tittered and laughed. It was a big joke. You do what you want. That's what I said, watch the woman's spirit. It's everywhere. It's in rebellion. It rebelled against the word of God in the garden. Brother, sister, you understand what I'm saying? The woman rebelled against God in the garden. Man deliberately sold out. You say, that makes the man worse than the woman. Yes, it does, but it doesn't. Because God gave her from him to be a helpmeet, one like him. So she blew it. Where is the church today? It's gone all the way. It's become a complete prostitute in the eyes of God, and God has to judge it. And when he sent his man, they tittered and laughed. And men were so proud of their women. The Pentecostal businessmen. Where are you men sitting here? What would you have felt like in that meeting? I'm the only one that sat there. What would you have felt like? It's a terrible thing to feel. For them, I felt like crawling under a table. So I guess it was the night that Brother Branley had that banquet that night, maybe. Woman's the church. What could they show to Merit Grace? Nothing. They were caught naked and they admitted it. Now, this bunch is caught naked and won't admit it. Do you think they weren't caught naked when the prophet could discern every heart in the building? 5,000 people could sit there, 1,000,000 could sit there, and he could say honestly before God, there is not one of you can hide. He said, well, he didn't discern 1,000,000. He did not. He didn't have to. But if he'd had the time, he could have had 1,000,000 people come by, and not one would he have missed. Now, you don't believe that, do you? Too bad you weren't there. I don't say that to everybody, but there's maybe some of you are too young to have been anywhere. And you wouldn't believe that because you want to go the way you're going. You'll find out you don't have many years to go, my young friend. You think I'm old, don't have many years to go. I don't, praise God. Tomorrow morning may not be too soon as far as I'm concerned because, see, I don't worry anymore. I can look right to the white throne judgment. I don't want to say, hey, I'm going to stand there and just spout off and be... I'm not saying that, brother, sister. I'm telling you by projection... What started here, and he said, the bride is righteous. Be the same down there. Oh, I'll admit my errors. Don't worry. There'll be no use trying not to. Sure. But you see, we're getting prepared at this minute for that. You're not just getting prepared to get out of here in a rapture, brother, sister. That is ridiculous. The rapture in itself is nothing. You know what I mean compared to the rest. Oh, it's a great, beautiful thing, sure. I love the excitement. So do you. Great. That's what makes life. Excitement. No excitement. Forget it. But excitement's not sin. That's a bad kind of excitement. We don't get spiritual excitement, we get other kind of excitement, see? So anyway, the rapture itself is not the great thing. The rapture is catching up. Now, crowning him and seeing him, that is going to be fantastic. Never anything. Never deny that. But what is that for? To get us to New Jerusalem. Now, you miss this, you miss everything. Don't you understand that we are the people of destiny? They have all looked to what we are seeing. They only talked about it. We are conversant with it. Oh, my brother, sister, listen. This is based upon a vindicated word. Now, if you don't take the vindication, that's all right. I mean, look, I got no fuss. I love you, and we're good friends. We'll sit down and eat, but up here I can sure be tough. But in your home and off, look, you want to put the pigs on the floor? That's okay. I mean, I don't think I want to eat with you, but I could force myself. I mean, look, I'm not hard. I've eaten worms. I know I have because I scraped them out of the bottle. I missed a few. These kind of raspberries, you're like, I've eaten them. Well, the food anyway, it tasted a bit funny. It looked a bit brown. I said, what those things floating around there? They were cooked. Floated up, skimmed them off and ate the berries. Cast iron stomach's a great thing. Ever since Adam and Eve blew it, what's a worm or two? Sure, I could eat your place. I wouldn't say I particularly wanted to, but you do what you like. I got no problem with you. I love you just the same. Sure, try to do you good. Now, what could they do to get grace? Brother Brad says, the army expression, excuse me, I only want to make it my pulpit to make a point. Passing the buck. Adam said, pass the buck. The woman you gave me did it. The woman said, the serpent beguiled me. One laid it to another. You know what? What did it matter? They did it. Say, why did you steal that money? Well, I needed it. Is that a fact? Why haven't you paid your bills? Well, I like this other thing I bought. Well, where's the payment for the fridge? I kept it to put a payment on the stereo. That's where we all at. Pass the buck. We all got excuses, right?
Amen.
We sure do, but not before God. Not before God. All right? He said, no hope for them. Placing the blame, brother, sister, even correctly, is no antidote. Well, you see what happened? My finger slipped and it went into the meat grinder. Well, fine. You just admit it and watch your finger come back. Watch your finger not come back. Placing the blame correctly is not the answer. It's finding some grace. See? Am I got a finger here? That wasn't a bad cut on the buzzsaw. Just the doctor wouldn't do right. He should have said, well, Lee, you go to the hospital and we'll get that thing done right. He just took his scissors and clipped a bunch off and did a rotten job. He's been sent to the day I die. I could have sued him for it. Well, I wouldn't sue anybody, so what's the difference? But that doctor was a horse doctor or something else. He wasn't a real doctor. Why don't we tell you something? Doesn't do me any good. I still got problems. Cold and butts and everything else. No matter how correctly you assess the case, assessing the case and saying this and that doesn't do anything, Melania Malone's going to bring that finger back. So being so, say, well, this did this and this did that, that's not the answer. You have to look at it. Surveying the damage. Admitting. That's good. But you got to have something beyond that. That's where grace comes in. See? God does something. God provided grace. But God provided grace, 77. And he came breaking through and he said, but I'll make a way somehow. I will save you regardless. That's wonderful. You've done wrong. You trespass my laws. And my laws will have to stand, and judgment from my laws will have to be executed. Therefore, there'll have to be a death because I've said death. Now, my Christian friends, these tapes that are being made will spread across the world. They did too. Let me ask you something. You who try to make God three gods, or you who try to make him one like your finger, he's one person. Now, there's something right there that's very, very interesting and very, very difficult. Well, let me read it. You try to make God to be three gods, or you who try to make him to be one like your finger. He's one in person. I'm going to leave that right there. Keep reading. It would not be right for God to make an angel die. He could not be the right kind of a judge and make an angel die for a human being. That still doesn't cure it, because his great law demands death, and somebody's got to die, and an angel can't die. Neither could he say, Eve, because you caused Adam to do this, I'll make you die. Let Adam live, because Adam was partaker also. Like someone once said, Pilate was justified, he washed his hands. You can't wash the blood of Jesus Christ off your hands. You will never leave this building this morning and go to heaven if you die in your sins. It's on your hands, so it isn't right. That's right. There's only one just way. There's only one way there could be. God's great law and demands could be met. Just one way to meet the law and the demands of the law. He had to meet it himself. Now, see, that's what grace is all about. God doing something for you and you receiving it by faith. And then remember, that's rebirth that empowers you to have the correct decisions in your life to move with God or move apart from God. Okay, let's keep reading. God's great law and demands could be met. He had to meet himself. He had to do it. God's the Spirit, and he can't die. Now watch this. So God had to be made man, and he died in human flesh, in the form of a man called Jesus Christ. And that was the promised Messiah that bought the grace. There where you see that God and Christ is the same person, God dwelling in Christ. I and my Father are one. Now watch up above. Try to make him three gods or one like your finger. She explains it. There where you see that God in Christ is the same person, God dwelling in Christ. So there's one person, right? Inside another person. Well, wasn't Christ a person? He said, I and my Father are one. My Father dwells in me. It is not I that speaketh the word, but my Father dwelleth in me. God in Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 5th chapter 18 and 19. Let's take a look at it. Five. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Now watch, didn't say he reconciled himself to us by himself, although that is true. He states the fact. And has given to us the ministry reconciliation to this end, to know this, that God was in the Christ, in the Messiah. The woman with the well said, when Messiah cometh, he'll be a prophet. He said, I'm Messiah. He said, God's in me. Right? I and my Father are one. Right? True. Can you be careful how you listen? Because though you don't know, one day it's required to know. That God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. In other words, God had to be in a form of a man who was a human being, born into Adam's race through incubator. That's what it amounted to. Okay. The prophet said, I got something here. He said, all right. He said, God is not three, like you got three gods. And he said, neither is he one. That's maybe your thumb here, but here's your index finger pointing up here. Very long finger. Your hand. It's just a pointer. I've used that as a finger, meaning a pointer. So God is not one like one finger. Neither is he like you say, very poor drawing there, two fingers, two gods. Neither is he like three. One physical manifestation. Now, we're looking at the fact that a life can go into the finger. That's not really what I got in mind. What I'm trying to show you here was that here was Christ, born of a Virgin Mary. At the River Jordan, what happened? God came down and infilled him. Now, you're not going to be able to say, this which was born here is God. It's the Son of God. Because the life took upon itself the minute form of a sperm and an egg, attached itself to the womb of Mary, and through chemical processes, brought forth a body that is different from ours. He was not the earthy. He was the Lord of heaven. The heavenly. We're dealing with two different things. So the heavenly went into the earthy. In the sense that this has a form. But it wasn't true earth like you and me. Yet it was earth. Chemicals. But the life determined everything else in this physical here. And this is what came in. So what you have here then, really, is the outer and the inner. So that you might say, here's God indwelling this vessel here. And this vessel could speak and say, the Father indwells me. And what was up here says, I'm pleased to indwell him. And he came in. Now, you can look at Scripture an awful lot of different ways, but Brother Branham, as far as I know, categorically brought that out. And people think because I believe this, and I have a good preacher friend who heard somebody say, not referring to me, of course, but there are those who preach two gods. And he had a suspicion that that person was referring to me. Now, that person could be sitting here this morning. I don't say he or she is. But you better know what you're talking about. That's right. That's what he said. Now, look. He said, look, I am vindicated to tell you about Godhead. I'm also telling you about grace. And as you're off on Godhead, believing in two and three and one in a wrong way, you are off of grace, believing it in a wrong way. Now you'll find that borne out what I'm telling you. The Father dwells in me. I had porridge this morning. The porridge is in me. I am not the porridge, and the porridge is not I. And according to the laws of nature, the porridge is giving me energy whereby I'm speaking and standing here and living. Because no food, I will die. And it is God in us willing and doing of his good pleasure. But this measure is different. This was a special body prepared that God himself inhabited. And God was going to very shortly inhabit that body again. And it could be within 5 years, it could be within 4 years even, within the next 6 months, 3.5 year tribulation. Actually, before then, it could be it could be any time. Months, because the incarnation take place at the wedding supper. You don't have to go through tribulation, but I mean coming back. I was thinking of coming back and I got my wires crossed there, so I got it corrected. Okay. My Father dwells in me. God in the Christ. Certainly. Now that's not one like your finger. Where some are Jesus only. They'll only use the name. And they said he sucked up the body or disintegrates. It does this, it does that. What? Look it. Forget it. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. If we don't have that man Christ Jesus, you can't get to God. You will never be born again. And what are you trying to get rid of him for? I'm not making a case for myself because I believe a certain way, but I'm just afraid some of you don't understand. Look, if you can't get any further than this, say, look, I know there is one God. I don't understand the ramifications. God, Spirit of God, this, that, but I know there is one God. And I know that Jesus was born of a Virgin Mary, and I know that he's the Messiah, and God was in him. Now, what happened from that point on, I'm not thoroughly aware of, but I know that's the truth. Yeah. And I found out, since that Brother Branham absolutely said, that the same one that indwelt him is here now in the form of the Spirit. He's not in the form of a body, but he's here in the form of the Spirit, in a purifier, and one day when that same Spirit takes us up with him to meet the Lord in the air, which is that physical person, to go back into him. Now, that much I can take. Look, if you can't go any further, go that far. All right, but not one. See, pointed like one finger. See, like you hold up a finger, one. Hold up two fingers. Hold up three. Hold up four. Hold up five. No, you're not that way at all. Because you can't see this that something came into.
Amen. Right.
See? But grace was promised in the Garden of Eden. And grace came. Grace to Adam and Eve. Nowhere to go, no which way to turn, yet grace made a way. Now what's he talking about? Absolute condemnation brought absolute grace. Now you've seen the grace of God through the ages. Spare the oil and the wine. My brother Banner made a statement in a token. Let's talk about it right now. He talked about the fact until token time came, which was evening time, when the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the token himself, appeared, you could get by with joining a church and just membership in this and that. As though you didn't need to be born again. Or let's say that we didn't need to be born again. Let's say, all right. I can't buy that. As though that's the statement Brother Branham made, because he said Luther had the Holy Ghost in measure. First he had the Holy Ghost. Pentecostal had the Holy Ghost. Now he is here. By one Spirit we're baptized one body, right? He that had not the Spirit of Christ is not his. So I don't think Brother Branham said that. But let's just say he was. Let's just take the extreme case. You'll understand everything the prophet said in the light in which the prophet said it. Okay. Let's say then we could come in. Not foolish virgin, but to the knowledge of which we came at those days back there, which wasn't much. But they were bride. How would they come in? The same as the Jews come in under the fifth seal. So I'll do it. Because they're foreknown. And he will lose none of whom he has foreknown. Now then, but you see, look, as the church was going down blacker and blacker because like Jonah's whale, it vomited out Luther. Now let's face it, it wasn't just the Roman Catholic Church with the Pope. It was those other guys around there too that wouldn't submit to papal authority. But they wouldn't come to Luther either, as far as I can see. If we're just going to put the whole thing in blanket coverage. Because Luther was the messenger. Okay, the church got rid of him. Now, from Luther starts coming light. Light, 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 light. The church, black, 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 black. Until what did Brother Brandon say? The other seen church age? Like this. All black. I shouldn't have made that so big, taking too long to ink it in. Okay, let's see. Okay, I just do my finger here and see like that there. That's all black. Supposed to be all black. Little tiny bit of light here. That's it. That's all. All black. See? It's all gone. You know why? Because he said, here. Here's God. Put this as God. Outraying sunshine. Here's the Bible. Very poor, you know, like this here. Spirit of God coming down. To the Word. To here. Okay, here's this man here. Let's cut this out here. Here's this little woman at the well. Or the woman that washed Jesus' feet. All dark except one little tiny bit of light. Here's old Simon. Yeah, that's right. This is the woman that washed his feet. Here's Simon. All light, little tiny bit of black. All right, Holy Spirit of God comes down through the Word. Vindicated Word, God in human flesh, demonstrating it is God. All right, the light struck, and watch her. All light. Watch him. All black. Okay, that tells the story. The light, the Word by the Holy Spirit brings light. So, the church gets darker, 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 darker. The Word becomes realer, 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 realer. More and more God manifested. So what do we got at the end time? We got at the end time a church that's in a perfect blackened condition. We got a Word of Almighty God that can take us out of here. Now, what has happened? The church has turned down the grace of Almighty God. And at this hour, we see the grace of God as we have never seen it before. See? It's right here. See, absolute condemnation, absolute grace. That's why he said you can't have a black-white bird, you can't have a drunk-sober man. Won't work. It's got to be one or the other. So the church is completely black. That's why they all die. And that's why there's so few foolish virgin has to be absolutely too few to even count. Yeah. Now, I think our time's just about perfectly gone here. So we can end this portion here. But grace was promised in the Garden of Eden. Grace came. Grace came to Adam and Eve. Nowhere to go. No which way to turn. Yet grace made a way. And the same with this people. Wretched, naked, miserable, blind, flaunting their shame in the face of Almighty God, not acquiescing or agreeing to what God has done, and there would be judgment upon every one of us, and God said, I will destroy utterly unless I provide grace in this way. God has provided us a vindicated prophet, a vindicated word. All we've got to do is believe it and leave it up to Him. Don't try to make the grade by yourself. It'll never work, Brother Sister, I can tell you right now. It won't work. Isn't going to work. Won't work. If God's word in perfectly innocent people that he gave to them, just laid in front of them, didn't work, then the word of God is not going to work with you or me unless we receive it into our hearts. And when you do, then that word is what's going to go to work and make the change and make the difference. And if you have not felt yourself and understood and knowing yourself that these things are happening, I just say one thing. Hey, you better start getting in that word a little bit more and letting that word get a little bit more into you. Getting caught in the spirit of it because something is happening, brother, sister. Because the word of God doesn't lie. You can have any philosopher you want in any man in this world. There is no one outside of this book that can possibly bring you the truth and reality. Amen. And the book contains everything, what will come, and who it will come by, and how it will come.
and the believers see it manifested, that little speck of faith in there. And they are the ones who take the amazing grace, and they don't look at themselves any longer. They look to Him because they see Him exposed to full view. And when He's exposed to full view, they know instantly they are exposed to full view. And they know they haven't got a prayer. Any man standing in the presence of William Branham, in the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ today, knowing what has transpired in this hour, and has any hope within himself, having known what is known today, is completely fooled by the devil. Because in yourself you haven't got a thing. Nobody has. You've got to know somehow, look, I've got to have something to meet this requirement. And I'll tell you, it's amazing grace that God meets the requirement of himself, lays it all out, and says, look, at all you got to do is to believe. And you'll find where Brother Branham puts faith and grace as one of the same thing, and love and grace as one of the same thing, and shows that the end time message of vindication is a complete message of grace. You didn't ask for it. You were too rebellious. I was. We knew something was wrong. But we couldn't be wrong with something else. We were wrong. I mean, intrinsically, individually wrong. And God came and showed us. Now, all you got to do is to take it. So, Brother Dale, I believed in three gods. Well, just ditch them. You haven't got any. Well, I could have one of them. No, you haven't got one of them. I'm sorry. Well, I believe this. Well, prophets said different. Well, I could take this part of it. No, you don't take part. You take it all. A vindicated prophet, brother, sister, is either vindicated or he's not vindicated. And what is he vindicated for? To bring that which we need. And if we got that which we need, brother, sister, then we come to this place of relaxation. We come to the place of knowing. I feel better all the time just looking at it. Lots of times they get worried even about you people. That's why I bug you. Say, listen, you better start praying this and that. But you know, I come to more and more peace as days go by. I say, oh, look, God's going to take care of it anyway. But I can't take a sloppy attitude. My attitude's got to be one of faith. See, if Adam and Eve were truly concerned about that word, she'd have been watching ever so carefully. And at such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Don't give way to these wrong spirits, brother, sister. Give way to the right spirit. Now, from now on, this point, this sermon will not go to the ground. I'm telling you flat. This sermon will live. It'll live in your hearts. And you will not leave here an unchanged people. You cannot. Because next Sunday, you will be told. Next Wednesday, you will be told. Let us consider the great apostle and high priest of our calling, Jesus Christ, and the messenger he sent to this hour. Understand what I'm saying? And you will go home and remember that. And as you bow your heads, you remember that. And you'll watch that spirit draw near. Bring you life. I can tell you these things because the prophets said them. And though they came from the mouth of an idiot, and that's me, they came from the mouth of God to begin with. And there's no word that's going to fall to the ground void. You believe that? If I didn't believe that preaching to the congregation, I'd quit preaching this minute and just get away. I'd be like old Elijah, I and I alone, Lord. I'm sitting here and God knows there's nobody else. And God says, shut up, there's 7,000 out there. So I don't let myself go to folly. We've got a church here I'm proud of, that I love and I respect. And perhaps some of you don't understand yet, but there'll come a day that you will. And I hope by the grace of God it's not too late. Because nobody wants to take anything from you, but wants to give you what God wants you to have. And that's what counts. Let's rise at this time and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, again we want to thank and praise you for your kindness and love to us, Lord. That we could come together and just talk about this word as laid out here by the prophet and see amazing grace, condescension. To see even foot washing, where Brother Branham said, what condescension he came down. Amazing grace. To see foot washing be the type, a picture of, an illustration of what went on in the garden. What went on when Jesus was upon earth here as a human being, suffered and died. And what is going on now, grace, marvelous grace. Father, may we never ever turn from this marvelous grace, this great grace of God. Help us, Lord. I know you did this morning beyond ourselves. I know that, Lord. I didn't come prepared to say the things I said, no way, shape, and form. But I know you're in it, Father God. I know you're in it for me, for every single person in this congregation. I know there hasn't been one word going to fall to the ground. There's going to be changes, Lord, because this is the hour of change. Because you're the one who doesn't change, then somebody's got to change, then it's going to be we who change. It won't be you. And that's good, Lord. That's good, that's good, that's good. We're so grateful. That's the way it is. That we're going to do the changing because you're going to work the changes in us. We cannot praise you enough for that, Lord. And our hearts go out in anticipation, my God, for the not just the great change at the resurrection. That's not it, Lord. The great change we want, Lord, is to be living epistles read and known of all men. We're already epistles read and known of all men, but they don't know we've been with Christ. Help us, Lord, to be in that position, that the life might be manifest also, as the Word so clearly says it. Help us, Father, at this time, that the life of ourselves will cease as never before, no longer passing the buck, no longer looking this way and that way, but looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who with the joy that set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set right down in the Father's throne, waiting for us. Oh God, what a great day this is. Father, we pronounce your benediction upon the people, your love, your mercy, and all that which goes with it, amazing grace. Not one, Lord, to fail of the grace of God in this hour. We claim them all, Heavenly Father. We don't care what the attitude is. We don't care what the outlook has been, Lord. We know one thing, that we claim the token has been applied, Lord. We claim every one in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for your glory. We pray that never cease from our hearts and our minds from this moment on. And now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you.